You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday morning to you, Mike McNamara, in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So wherever you are, thanks for part of your morning, and greetings from Mankato, Minnesota, as the program kicks off in an expeditionary fashion once again today. So excited to be up here, and had an awesome night last night after an eventful day of travel. So we're going to talk about that this morning. But I think yesterday, obviously, if you listened and you follow the show a little bit, I think probably knew that was recorded, given the fact that we didn't talk about the biggest news of yesterday, and that was a Marine who killed people and then killed himself. And I had a whole series of emails. What do you make of that? And obviously it's too early for us to know, but I think what we're seeing is a typical pattern. And can you lay it at the feet of PTSD? And I would tell you the answer to that is no. I think that people that would do that are wrong-headed, and that there's all kinds of people throughout the country that live with PTSD, right? And what don't they do? Certainly, what you tend to see when things like that happen is some kind of underlying health issue. And is there PTSD involved? Absolutely there is. But the underlying mental health issue dwarfs whatever post-traumatic stress issue. And the inability of we as communities, and we saw this in Florida during at Marion Douglas. You have all these signs that somebody is unstable and potentially violent, yet we as a society say that, yeah, he's okay. And I think at some point we have to begin to skew to the side of the equation that says protecting other people is just as important as him having all the freedoms that you have as an American citizen. And I think it's pretty frustrating for family members, in fact, that's such an understatement. It's probably stupid to even say, so I'm not even going to say it. the pain that these families will go through, knowing that this guy emitted, and the stories coming out from neighbors and things like that, are head scratching. How do we, if you can't catch these obvious ones, how do you catch the not so obvious ones? So, mental health, obviously, and PTSD, obviously, in the news. But again, in the research that I continue to do, in fact, I was talking about it last night, you know, who can go to a war that's not affected by post-traumatic stress? You can't wipe the images out of your brain. And if 30% are diagnosed with it, I would say anybody who participates in combat operations is affected by it. Maybe you don't go get diagnosed. Maybe you say, yeah, I don't have any issues, and so you don't get diagnosed with it. Doesn't mean you're not affected by it. Then you have 30% that are diagnosed with it. What percentage have underlying mental health issues? Well, the research that I've done and the reading I've done say not only less than 5%, probably less than 1%. How are we not better at dealing with the 1%? Pretty frustrating. And again, those words are incredibly inadequate, because frustrating doesn't even describe what it is for the people who have lost somebody, who will bury a daughter or a son or a husband or a brother or a sister or a wife who just went out to go dancing and winds up getting shot by somebody who, by the initial accounts, gave more than a few indications that he was potentially disposed to this kind of behavior. So, and the other thing, it's when I saw that he was a Marine, for whatever reason, you feel, I don't know, some level of some responsibility, some level of embarrassment that an organization that you identify with, that you spend a big chunk of your life representing, somehow failed the nation, failed the community in Thousand Oaks. And so yesterday, a rough day, I appreciate everybody that sent in an email about it. I think most people that did realize pretty quick that, oh, he must have recorded this, because he's flying to Minneapolis today. Let me tell you about that little adventure. I get to Minneapolis. Everything's fine. Actually, I was going up the 405 to LAX, and I started getting emails like, hey, Mac, he's a Marine. So, anyway, land in Minneapolis, and on a fairly tight timeline, right? Land at 3:30, got to be in Mankato at 7. A little bit of snow falling, which is actually fun. Having lived in North Dakota for a while, having not been in it for a while, it's kind of fun. And get to the rental car place, and I had used my driver's license to get on the airplane, and I lost it. Must have fallen out of my pocket on the airplane. So I lose my driver's license, and now I'm trying to rent a car, and the lady looks at me and says, I can't rent you a car. So I didn't even get mad, which I was pretty proud of. So I took my stuff, and I'm thinking, like, how can I do this? She said, well, if you had a picture of your driver's license, and I'm thinking, I have a picture of my driver's license someplace. I know that. Is it on my computer at home? Is it on my laptop? Is it on my phone? So I start scrolling through pictures. I find a picture of three driver's licenses that I had taken kind of as a joke when I was on active duty, when I'm a lieutenant captain on active duty. So I'm looking at that, and then I'm going to fire up my computer. I'm going to fire up my hotspot on my phone. I'm going to network into my desktop computer at home and start looking for that to see if I can find it. But I don't have a whole lot of time before I screw my speaking engagement up or begin to impact that. So as I'm doing this, a guy from Hertz says to me, "Hey, come here. I can help you." I looked at him, and he said, I walked over to the counter, and he said, "You're a veteran." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm going to go speak at the University of Minnesota Mankato." And he said, "I will rent you a car." I was so excited. He's like, "What do I do if I can't rent a car? Do I Uber to Mankato? I guess I can. I mean, I don't have another choice. 80-something miles." So anyway, Sergio rents me a car. Not only rent me a car, he hooked me. He said, "What kind of car do you want to drive?" I said, "Look, man, I'll drive a motorcycle. I don't care." He said, "How about an Equinox?" I'm like, "I've never driven one. I barely know what it is." He said, "Well, they're nice cars." He said, "Do you like Lexus?" I said, "I drive a Nissan Frontier truck, man." "No, I don't drive Lexus. Do I look like a Lexus guy?" He started laughing. He said, "You'll like the Lexus." He said, "Take the Lexus at the same price." I said, "Okay." So I'm not a believer of the cosmic energy of the planet evening out. I will say, though, that maybe sometimes, right, when you're doing good things, maybe that impacts other things. Now, I don't really believe that, but yesterday I was very fortunate. So he gave me the car, got to Mankato, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, but after we open the show. But it was just an awesome night. Awesome night. First time I've ever done the post-traumatic winning presentation. Not on the radio. First time I've ever done it in person. And so I was excited to do it. And had a great turnout. And the turnout, turns out a lot of other college students, not just veterans, were interested, which was extremely heartening to me. So a great night up here at Mankato with the veterans here. And also with other students who came to listen about trauma, which speaks to my point in that our experiences with trauma make us uniquely suited to contribute more to our communities. And it's a great experience when you can sit down and talk about these things with people that don't have the same level of experience that we do in the military that have dealt with it. So I was extremely heartened by the number of people who weren't veterans that showed up. And but, as always, spending time with veterans is home, right? And as much as we give them a tough time, the other branches of the service are all awesome people and here going to school doing good things. So it's just a wonderful night. So we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. It's Friday. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you.
Who's brought you?
this is dedicated to all the veterans that showed up last night at Minnesota State University in the beautiful city of Mankato, a place where I'd never been before. But this is dedicated to all the veterans who showed up. And then everybody else showed up that kind of gave validity to the idea here in Mankato that there's a lot of people that are awfully interested in learning about trauma, and those of us who have experience at it ought to be open to sharing those experiences with them so that our communities can be stronger places. So this is dedicated to them on the eve of the 100th anniversary of what used to be now called Veterans Day, and also on the eve of the 243rd birthday of the United States Marine Corps. So, happy birthday, Marines. So, the veterans and students at the State University of Mankato, and 100 years. My grandfather fought in that war. So, and I brought his medals up here. I'll talk about that here in a few minutes.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult
challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
For us to check the weather here on a Friday around Marineland and even tell you what's going on relative to the weather here in Mankato. So currently in Quantico, it's cloudy and 46. You got that going for you. In Granbury, Texas, Camp Lejeune is cloudy and 66. Granbury, Texas, it is clouds and 46, 29 Palms, clear and 47, Camp Pendleton, clear and 63, Okinawa, it is dark, cloudy, and 72, in El Ambar, it is cloudy and 66, in Helmand, it is dark, cloudy, and 63, in Costa Mesa, California, Newport Beach area, it is cloudy and 67. Going to have wind in 83, so fire conditions ripe on the west coast. And where I'm broadcasting from today, University of Minnesota, Mankato, about 80 miles southwest of Minneapolis, St. Paul, which is in the south-central part of the state. Mankato in... in rural Minnesota, beautiful campus, but it is 18 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Looking for a high today of 23 and a low overnight of 9 degrees above zero. It's been a while since I've done a forecast like this. On a Saturday, looking for a high of 26, a low of 22, which is important. Those warm nights are important. Under mostly cloudy skies, Sunday, looking for a high of 31 and a low overnight of 15, with times of clouds and sun and cold. So that is a look at your weather here on a Friday. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'll tell you about last night, and then we'll check news headlines. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. I'm running cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep.
All right, back in broadcasting live from the University of Minnesota in Mankato, Minnesota, and obviously this evening, a horrible night if you follow post-combat-related mental health, and it's bad enough when it impacts us all as veterans. I mean, I can't, absolutely horrible when it impacts innocent people. And that's exactly what happened. About 36 hours ago. Marine veteran was deployed to Afghanistan, a machine gunner. And, everybody knows the name, Ian David Long. Opened fire with a Glock pistol, Glock 21, 45 caliber handgun with an extended magazine, all of it very easy to get. The Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Neller, tweeted the following: heartfelt condolences to those suffering from the tragic and senseless act of violence. Hashtag Thousand Oaks. That ex-Marine's despicable actions run counter to what the vast majority of veterans are rightfully known for, serving with honor, then making positive contributions to society. So, yeah, I think we all feel that. We all feel a bit of anger that one of ours did something like this. It was almost a year ago that the article goes on to say, I had forgotten former airman Devin Kelly opened fire in a church, killing 26 people. And again, you know, was he dramatically affected by post-traumatic stress? Probably not. The article goes on to say, like Kelly, Long had previous run-ins with law enforcement. Kelly served 12 months in confinement in the Naval Consolidated Brig in Miramar, California, for domestic assault. While the extent of Long's police record isn't clear yet, law enforcement officials said that there were multiple calls to his residence. Ventura County Sheriff said Long might be suffering from PTSD, despite no evidence being offered to the public to suggest that, according to the Los Angeles Times. Long served 4.5 years in the Marine Corps, deployed to Afghanistan as part of the strategy from November 2010 to 2011. Last duty station was with 2nd Battalion, 3rd Marine Regiment of the 3rd Marine Division at Kaneohe Bay. He left the Marine Corps in 2013 at the rank of corporal. 2-3 served under RCT-1 when I was there during that period of time. The article goes on to say this. The years 2010 to 2011 would mark one of the bloodiest periods for the Marine Corps during its participation in the Afghan fight. Then it talks about 3-5 up in Sangin and other operations. Among Long's awards are 2 Navy Unit Commendations, or NUCs, which is only awarded to units for outstanding heroism in action against the enemy, according to the Navy's award criteria instructions. He only did one deployment. I'm not sure how he got 2. Long's other awards include Combat Action Ribbon, Good Conduct Medal, 2 Sea Service Deployment Ribbons, the Afghan Campaign Medal, and the rest of the kind of I was there stuff. One of the other terrible stories that is part of our culture and part of today for us is a Marine veteran and a local team Red, White, and Blue chapter captain was killed in the shooting. Dan Manrique, a Marine veteran and head of the Ventura, California chapter for Team Red, White, and Blue, was killed in the shooting. Quote, "We are heartbroken to confirm that Dan Manrique," I think I'm saying that right, it's either Manrique or Manrique, "Pacific Region Program Manager for Team Red, White, and Blue, and Marine Corps veteran, was one of the victims of the borderline shooting in Thousand Oaks last night," said Banna Miller, a spokesman for Team Red, White, and Blue. "His life was dedicated to serving others during his military career and beyond. All of us at Team Red, White, and Blue are keeping all those impacted by this tragedy in our thoughts and prayers." According to a memorial page on Team Red, White, and Blue's website, Manrique served with 2nd Combat Engineer Battalion, 2nd Marine Division, as a radio operator deployed in the Middle East in 2007 with the 26th MEU. Uncle goes on to talk about the comment. A friend of mine, and I won't go into much detail, but sent a text us yesterday that one of the girls that was killed was a friend of his family. And, you know, there's no words. You know, I think every one of us, when these kind of things happen, you know, you look down at your phone and you see something like that, and then the thought comes to you, what do I say? What in here? All the stupid things that people said, to my sister, to me, when devastated. And I think the only, that I said is, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So, just devastating. And I think, you know, again, we all feel it as part of the Marine Corps culture, that this is one of ours. And it pisses you off. you know, that for whatever reason, and again, I don't know anything about this guy, but again, it will be prototypical of deeper mental health issues, isolation, lost touch with his battle buddies, and then normally it's substance abuse, drug abuse. Now, God only knows if that will be the case in this, but it gets old and tired. But I think underlying all of these, the one in Texas a year ago at a church is real deep mental health issues that we as a culture are unwilling to say, yeah, sorry, you're going to be institutionalized for a while. And we're reluctant to do that. And I think my right to be free and safe trumps your right to act crazy. They're not equal rights. When you begin to admit, when you begin to act like a kook, somebody should yoga them. Take you. And you should have to behave well in order to get. Because my son or daughter shouldn't get whacked at a bar because you're pissed off at the world. It's just so senseless. So senseless. And I don't know what else to say about it. A couple more stories in Marine Corps Times, and then we'll check out the early bird. Talked yesterday about 1,000 Marines from 1MEF. I'm not sure it's all Camp Pendleton, but 1,000 Marines from 1MEF are headed to the border to support the Border Patrol based on reports of that caravan continuing to close on the United States border. President yesterday said that, and I think this is just prudent and right. If you're an asylum seeker, you need to go to a port of entry and present yourself as an asylum seeker. And I think the stupid games that go on at the border, where you try to sneak in and then when you get caught, you say I want asylum. I think the president should put an end to that, as part of bringing order to our southern border. So. Talked about yesterday, Duncan Hunter got reelected, so congratulations to him. Hopefully he'll fare well in that investigation relative to he and his wife using campaign money for personal expenses, and he can continue to serve. And the investigation has been turned over to the Navy to a Special Forces relative to his Special Forces Staff Sergeant's death, Staff Sergeant Logan Melger's death in Mali. So waiting on the outcome of the Article 32 to see where that will go. Somewhat humorous. We're not calling the operation down on the border anything anymore. They're just Marines, soldiers, airmen are headed down there to help. So interesting how that all of a sudden took a very, very political, very, very political tone. Here's a list of the units headed down to the border. See if any of them surprise you. Number of troops headed to the border keeps rising. 5,600 already deployed. A total of 7,000 expected to eventually support U.S. Customs and Border Protection that will work for NORTHCOM. 2,800 troops are deployed in Texas, 1,300 in California, including 1,100 Marines, and there's 1,500 service members deployed in New Mexico. So units from Fort Bliss, Headquarters Company, Heavy Truck Company, MP, Contingency Contract Teams, Contracting Support Brigade Commander from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, an Assault Helicopter Battalion of the 82nd Airborne, Medical Logistics Company, MP Battalion, Airborne, Preventative Medicine Unit, Combat Sustainment Support Battalion, Movement Control Team, Inland Cargo Transfer Team, Headquarters, Veterinary Service Support Company. From Fort Campbell, Kentucky, you have the 74th Light Composite Transportation Company. So you got trucks and Humvees and all kinds of stuff. The Inland Cargo Transfer Company. Who knew these things even existed? That's out of the 101st Airborne. Quartermaster Composite Supply Company. Movement Control Team. Engineer Support Company of the 101st Airborne. From Fort Carson, Colorado, a couple of headquarters elements. From Fort Detrick, Maryland, 6 Medical Logistics Management Center. From Fort Hood, Texas, Military Police Brigade. Headquarters, the 62nd Engineer Battalion. The 937th Engineer Sapper Company. The 289th Quartermaster Company. And the 104th Engineer Company. At some point, I should look into the naming conventions of the Army, because I don't understand them. The 900th and whatever, the 289th Quartermaster Company? What the hell, man? Is there 288 in front of the 289th? That's a big unit. From Fort Knox, Kentucky, headquarters, elements, 15th Engineer Company, horizontal, whatever that means, of the 19th Engineer Battalion. And the 541st Engineer Sapper Company of the 19th Engineer Battalion, both in Fort Knox. So you can see, engineers, medical, truck drivers. From Fort Meade, Maryland, Signal Company, Combat Camera. Got to record this stuff. From Fort Riley, Kansas, Headquarters, Military Police Company. Military Police Company, Engineers. Fort Stewart, Georgia, 3rd Combat Aviation Brigade Headquarters. 90th Human Resource Company. Not sure what that means. From Joint Base Charleston, South Carolina, 1st Combat Camera Squadron. From Joint Base Lewis-McChord, up with the, what is that, the 2nd ID up in Washington? Headquarters, Public Affairs, Military Police, Medical Support Company, Engineer Construction Company times 1-2, and Engineer Sapper Company times 2. How long is this, though? It's almost done. San Antonio. Headquarters, U.S. Army North. 4th Expeditionary Sustainment Command Team. Another headquarters element. From the U.S. Transportation Command. Strategic airlift using C-17s and C-130s. Got to have that stuff. Got to move, everybody. From Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. Special Purpose Marine Air Ground Task Force 7, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. So, that means, right, that's RCT 7. So, at least the headquarters element's coming out of 7th Marines, and then they will man the rest of the organization out of the MEF. And again, I would say MPs, maybe some infantry guys just for general contractor use, and engineers, medical people, right, and headquarters people, public affairs people, all those people head down, like any other humanitarian assist mission. From Naval Station Norfolk, Virginia, Joint Planning Support Element, and then from Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado, Joint Enabling Capability Team and Aviation Planners, from U.S. Northern Command. So that's a look at who's who in the zoo and who's headed for the border. So, again, it'll be, I think, it'll be interesting to see what happens on the border period. Now that it's over, can we make sense of that? We have a policy in the regulation and procedures set in place for people seeking asylum? We'll see. We'll see. I'm honestly, I think like all of you, I'm not too hopeful, but that is what it is. Early bird briefing today. Talk like this. Number one, For today's VA, the best of times, the worst of times. In the White House press conference Wednesday, amid a host of other topics, President Trump stated that because of his leadership, our vets are doing better than ever before. Not so sure that's true. So, articles by Leo Shane, former Marine. Critics of the president contend that over the last 8 months, the Department of Veterans Affairs has never been in more disarray. A confusing series of leadership scandals, management overhauls have further diminished public faith in the institution. However, both could be right. It is really a tale of two VAs right now, but it's the best of times and worst of times, said Melissa Bryant, Chief Policy Officer for Iraq and Afghanistan's Veterans of America. We've had major legislation victories this year, but a lot of what we have seen in 2018 has been political. Wow, excuse me. I'm not actually supposed to do that on the air, but I don't care today. A lot of what we've seen in 2018 has been political theater, unfortunately. I don't know that a whole lot of that translates to us on the user end. I would tell you, after spending the night with veterans last night, it's the same issues. You know, going to see mental health people that have never served, being prescribed the zombie cocktail when you want to talk to somebody, and the frustration that goes with that. So I think there's the same. And again, different hospitals, different VA hospitals do that better or worse depending on where you are in the country. So I think that's I think not a whole lot has changed at the user end. And the VA can tout all their big program changes. I have friends that have tried to use choice. It's a nightmare because of how many different layers of approval you have to get. So in an effort for them to control costs. So I would say not a whole lot has changed at the VA in spite of, you know, in spite of what I read. Second story in the early bird is U.S. North Korea nuclear talks are canceled. But most believe that's part of the dance that we do. From the Associated Press, U.S. officials told Seoul that it was North Korea that canceled nuclear talks this week between U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and a senior North Korea about South Korean's foreign minister said on Thursday. So, again, you know, we've talked about this, the ups and downs of all of this, the posturing that will go on, certainly. But, you know, the bottom line is, and the president said it the other day, things that people said would never happen have happened. And that's pretty impressive. That is absolutely, positively impressive. You know, you figure a year, 18 months ago, you know, North Korea shooting ICBMs all over the Pacific, shooting them over the top of Japan, threatening to shoot near Guam, all of that. And so, I mean, I think, you know, now we're talking about they canceled this meeting in a move that, you know, represents more political posturing than anything else. Right. So South Korean Foreign Minister Kang Kyung-hwa provided reason aside from busy schedules for why North Korea canceled the meeting set for Thursday in New York that was meant to discuss North of its nuclear weapons and setting up a second summit between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korea leader Kim Jong-un. Some analysts say last-minute cancellation, a familiar North Korean tactic, could be aimed at pressuring the United States to agree to a quick Trump-Kim summit because the North thinks it can win major concessions from Trump that lower-level U.S. officials might try to block. The U.S. president has recently appeared to be slowing the pace of diplomacy with North Korea amid signs that Kim is lagging behind his supposed promises to denuclearize. So again, that dance continues. And keep our fingers crossed. Number three story is about the Marine who killed 12 people in Thousand Oaks, California. We've already discussed that. Number four story is the DOD sending 7,000 troops to the border. Here's where every unit is going. You know about that as well. And then the third story is Navy is creating an attack sub aggressor unit to train to fight against Russia and China. So, you know, seen the movies. Now you're going to see somebody get in another submarine and simulate the Chinese and the Russians. So, why haven't they done that before? It seemed like kind of like a no-brainer, man. Yes? I think so. I think so. A story that kind of caught my eye this morning that didn't make the top five is this story. From crowd control to wireless energy beaming, the Army's new vehicles must have more power but use less fuel. Wireless energy beaming. How about that? How about that? And then one other Marine Corps type story that I would share with you. Marine First Sergeant awarded Navy Cross for Vietnam War heroics. More than a half century after battlefield heroics during the Vietnam War, retired Marine First Sergeant John J. Lord will be awarded the Navy Cross during a November 17th ceremony in Vancouver, Washington. The Navy Cross, the nation's second highest award for bravery, is an upgrade from the Bronze Star Lord originally was awarded in 1975. Lord was a sergeant serving with Kilo Company 37 in the Republic of Vietnam when he was jolted to push his company through a deadly ambush. During the firefight, Lord's company commander, platoon leader, and senior enlisted leadership were all wounded, leaving Lord to take helm of the unit. As machine guns and small arms fire rained down on the Marine platoon from a concealed North Vietnamese Army battalion, Lord unhesitatingly maneuvered across the fire-swept terrain, skillfully deployed the platoon against the enemy, the award citation reads. So congratulations to him. Real quick, just want to talk about, got a few more minutes, and you know, the chef's not going to join us today. You're going to hear from Tim Adams, who's the coordinator up here, and then you're going to hear from a series of veterans that join us today, all students up here, and we'll talk with them. So, but I'll tell you what was really cool once I got here yesterday. I set my stuff up, and a lot of people in the room. I would tell you that the audience was predominantly female, to the tune of about 60-40, which I don't know if it surprised me or not. And then later found out that the audience was maybe 60-40, just a student body who had come to listen, in addition about PTSD and trauma. And this thing that I call post-traumatic winning. So that I was heartened by that. And the presentation went from about 7:30 to 9:30. And then, as always, you know, people afterward talk, which is probably one of the most interesting parts of it. But I was curious about you all hear me talking about these concepts all the time. A lot of you interact and have let me know what you think about parts of the presentation. And so I was really interested afterwards to hear what they have to say. The one comment that comes up repeatedly is, Why didn't we taught this stuff? You know, we do deal with trauma all the time. Why has nobody seen fit to put something like this together and teach us about stuff? Nobody else. And perplexed about it. But probably the coolest thing that comes out of it is that the confidence that you hear them talk about, saying, you know what, I know this stuff. I never really kind of put it together like you have, and I don't really approach other people into. This makes sense to me. It's all pretty logical when you look at you, but nobody really lays it out like this for us. And as excited as you touch the lives of other people, I think it would be really cool if I was able to do that. And so that for me was the most exciting part. Clearly. Awesome. Absolutely, positively awesome. So, again, looking forward. I make another speech today at noon. President of the university, and I guess a whole bunch of university people will be at a luncheon to honor veterans. So I am the key speaker. They'll get to hear me. I brought my grandfather who fought in World War I. This is the 100th anniversary of the Army. I brought him with me. So my grandfather, General Initial McNamara, who was with Company D, I want to say the 130th Engineer Battalion, who fought in all the major battles of the First World War, the Meuse-Argonne. He was near Bellowood during that campaign. So this should be another interesting, very, very cool day here. But last night, I emailed Bob Nielsen this morning. It was awesome. It was awesome because as you do the presenting, you know, for those of you who sit there and you watch the crowd, are they buying it? Are they not buying it? And then nobody gets up and leaves. And you can take notes, more and more attentive to what you're saying. And what I think is, this is, as Libby tells me, going big. Afterwards was awesome. So great night. Great night. All right, we're going to take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Friday edition, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute, heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Readboard page at allmarineradio.com.